Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. It would help us to read this passage of Scripture before we study it so that you really understand what's going on here. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 1. Let's have a word of prayer before we dive into it, and then we'll go right to the study. Mike, but if you'll pray for us, please. Amen. Amen. Now, what you're going to be reading is this. You're going to be reading about what verse 8 says is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. You see that? That's what we're going to be reading about. And in this, you're going to see that the Lord takes vengeance on all the nations in verses 2 and 3. He takes vengeance on the heavens in verse 4. He takes vengeance on a place called Idumea in verses 5 to 15. And in taking vengeance on Idumea, he's going to show you some things concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he takes vengeance on those three things, the nations, the host of heaven, and a place called Idumea. Let's read verse 1. Isaiah 34, 1, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falleth off from the vine, as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. Both of those places are south of the Dead Sea in the area of Edom, which is modern day Jordan. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also, and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. They shall call the nobles thereof to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all her princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in their fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island. And the satyr shall cry to his fellow, the screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. And then he finishes up the prophet and says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded and his spirit it hath gathered them. And he hath cast the lot for them, and his hand hath divided it unto them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. So in this, as we are reading, hopefully your mind was able to pick up at least some of what was going on there in the Lord's vengeance. All right. And so when the Lord pours out his indignation upon all nations and on the host of heaven and on Idumea, he actually takes Idumea, this place that you read about here, and turns it into hell on earth. And you're going to see that as we go through this prophecy. And the reason he finishes the prophecy in verse 16 and says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, is to tell you, listen, I have recorded this in my word, and this is exactly how it's going to happen. I'm not going to go back on my word. This isn't speculation. This is as factual as if it had already happened, and you're reading about it as history. Now, in verse 1, Isaiah addresses this prophecy to the whole world. He says, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. So this is like, read, you know, extra, read all about it. And it's addressed not to one nation, but to everybody that's in the world. And so it has a universal application. There's a couple of other places in your Bible where you see this worldwide address. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32 is the song of Moses. And we know from Revelation chapter 15 that this song of Moses gets sung again. The song of Moses is a worldwide prophecy. And notice what he says in verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. He's addressed that to the whole universe, the heavens and the earth. Listen to this song. So it's got a worldwide implication. There's another place, and it may surprise you. Go to the New Testament, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. So you have the four Gospels, then the book of Acts, and then the book of Romans. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts and the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. All right, Romans chapter 10, we're dealing a lot here in this passage with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 17 he says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And verse 18 says, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went where? Into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world, in preaching the gospel. Did not the commission to the disciples say, go ye into all nations? And to another place in Mark he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's a worldwide deal. You know, missions is the most obvious outreach of the local church. If you think about that, because it gets the message out worldwide. Okay. Go back to Isaiah chapter 34. So this is addressed to the whole world, even addressed to the heavens. It has a universal application. Now, first of all, he tells us in verses 2 and 3 about his indignation or his vengeance on the nations. Look with me again. He says in Isaiah 34:2, for the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations. His fury is upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Isn't that amazing? He said, he hath destroyed them. It hadn't even happened yet. But again, you want to be reminded that you're dealing with a God that is eternal. He is on both sides of time. Not bound by the limitations of 10:15 in the morning on Sunday, February the 2nd. Not bound by that. He's already been where we are. You know, in the Old Testament, when he identified himself, he said, I am. You know what that means? It means wherever you are, no matter where you are, he is. Not he was, not I will be, I am. All right, so when he says he hath utterly destroyed them, he's just telling you what's going to happen. From his perspective, it's already done. Verse 3, he says, their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses. That's what comes from a bunch of dead bodies lying dead on the battlefield. And the mountains shall be melted with their blood. That's a lot of blood. What's going on here? Well, what's going on is that the Lord gets the nations into one place where he can destroy them. So the interesting thing is, we've oftentimes mentioned, I didn't come up with this idea, I heard a preacher mention it, but he said that what goes on up there in the realm of the spiritual powers actually is portrayed down here in the realm of the nations. So it's like a chess game between God and the devil, and as they make their moves there, it's played out here in the earth. I certainly think that we have a responsibility to vote, but I'm not kidding myself. The people who come into power in this country now, this stage of the game and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil and the Lord are putting these folks in power. You can criticize it all you want if you don't like it. The truth of the matter is, God's got something He's working here now. Okay? And let me show you how He does this. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 8. Now you're thinking, now where is that? Well, if you go to the split between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then start going backwards through the Old Testament, the last book is Malachi, the next to the last is Zechariah, the next to the last is Haggai, and then Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. And notice what the Lord's determination is. Zephaniah chapter 3. So, going backwards from the middle. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah chapter 3. Look at verse 8. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. That's His second coming. Watch it. For my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms. Why? To pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Now, if God's determination is to gather the nations against Jerusalem, which is, as you know from studying Isaiah, the target, how do you think we're going to make that not happen? You're not going to stop that. Not when He's ready. And let me show you something else. Turn to the book of Revelation. Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. The thing to do is to find out the mind of God about these matters and then pray with Him in what He's accomplishing. Revelation chapter 16, look at verse 13. This follows the sixth angel in verse 12 pouring out his vial upon the river Euphrates. Then verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. That is the satanic trinity right there. The dragon is the devil, the beast is the antichrist, and the false prophet is like the Holy Spirit. That is the antitype of Jesus Christ. This is the antichrist, or the anti-trinity, if you will. All right, so those frogs, those unclean spirits come out like frogs out of those three. What do? Verse 14. They are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. So the Lord's determination is to gather the nations, and the devils are gathering the nations. You know what's going to happen? The nations are going to get gathered. That's what's going to happen. And the purpose is, it's like the Lord makes that move and the devil makes the counter move, but the counter move gets the nations lined up right where the Lord wants them to be. I don't play chess. I wish that I had done that when I was a kid. That whole thing about the way you move is to get the other guy to move in reaction to your move so you can set him up for the kill. That's what's going on with the Lord and the devil. And the Lord's going to win that thing every time. All right, so He sets it up, and then it is there at that place where He gathers them together that the Lord actually comes and destroys those nations. All right, go to Zechariah. Zechariah, so you've been to Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, and the one right before that is Zechariah. So you start in the middle there at the break between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Go back to the left. Malachi is the last book, and Zechariah the second to the last book. Zechariah chapter 12, you say, why are we doing these cross references? So that you'll know that I'm not teaching you, but the Bible is. I'm just the being used by the Lord to direct the traffic. Zechariah chapter 12, look at verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. See it? All right, now you've seen it there. Look in Zechariah chapter 14. That's two more chapters. Zechariah chapter 14. Notice the context is the day of the Lord, which is His second coming. Zechariah 14, verse 1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity." So it's not going to go well at the beginning of this battle at all. "And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." Well, that day of battle is Joshua chapter 10, where the sun and the moon stood still. He won that battle hands down. He's going to win this one too. Okay, so that's the deal. So what happens is the Antichrist and these armies all gather themselves together to fight against Jerusalem. And the Lord comes back and he's got them right where he wants them, all in one place. And then when he finishes with them, the Antichrist and all of their armies are going to be slaughtered, and their blood is going to soak that whole region and melt those mountains, in essence. All right, you're in Isaiah. The next major prophet after Isaiah is Jeremiah, and the next one after that is Ezekiel. There's a little book called Lamentations between them, but we want Ezekiel chapter 32. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 32. Big book. Alright, and in Ezekiel chapter 32, look in verse 2. Now here he's taking up a lamentation for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, but he's addressing the work of the Antichrist in this king. Ezekiel 32:2, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas." Well, that's a negative thing, because that's what swallowed Jonah. "And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest the rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people." That's you and me. The many people, "and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land, I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and will call all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with thee, and I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee." Well, he's talking about some kind of a beast here that is huge. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the dragon. He's talking about the devil in Revelation chapter 12 that gets cast out here. When he kills him, he lays that out, and that blood just fills those valleys. Okay? Then you're in Ezekiel, look in Ezekiel 39. That's the Antichrist right there in Ezekiel 32. Look at Ezekiel chapter 39 at verse 17. The Lord has this big slaughter, and it's like a great big sacrifice. Ezekiel 39, look at verse 17. "And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come. Gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and of lambs and of goats, of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan." In other words, the killing of these armies is like the sacrifice of animals in the Old Testament. Verse 19, "And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you," that is for these fowls. "Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God." Revelation 14 says that blood that comes out of those, all that death there, fills the valley from Haifa, all the way down through Megiddo, down the Jordan River, all the way down to the Gulf of Aqaba. 200 miles filled bridle deep with blood. That's quite a sacrifice. I think the Lord's justified in that. These nations hate God. Sad thing. when you're going to turn the God of the Bible into an Allah, or turn the God of the Bible into the evolutionary God of this country, or any of the things that are in between, statues and all that other stuff, he has every right in the world to be mad. All right, so he puts his vengeance on the nations, pours out his vengeance on the nations. And then in verse 4, he pours out his vengeance on the host of heaven. Verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. You know these scientists that believe in millions of galaxies and they're seeing all that stuff out there with the Hubble telescope? They cannot conceive of a God big enough to just take all that and fold it up like pajamas, stick it in a drawer and change clothes. They cannot conceive of that. I'm not sure that my mind can comprehend it either, but I don't have any trouble believing it. He says there that he's going to roll them up as a scroll, and all their host shall fall down as the leaf falleth from off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. Now, he's dealing with two things there. He's dealing with the universe, all those stars and planets you see out there, for one thing. But he's also dealing with the occupants. Spiritual wickedness in high places. You know who occupies all that stuff there in outer space right now? The devil and all of his angels. That's the realm in which they are traveling right now. In Job, the Lord says to the devil and to the sons of God, where have you been? He said, I've been going to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. And he travels all around out there. Way back in the old days, they asked an old fellow, said, if you had a chance to fly in one of those spaceships to go up to up there to the moon, would you do it? He said, uh-uh. He said, why not? He said, you afraid of what you see up there? He said, uh-uh. I'd just be afraid of what get in there with me and come on back. Because he knew there were devils up there. You'll see it here as we go through this. But the thing is, the Lord has to clean all that mess up. It's been occupied by the wrong people. It's been occupied by the god of this world, who is the devil. Look in Matthew chapter 24. We'll do this sort of in more or less chronological order. Matthew chapter 24. If you're familiar with the Gospel of Matthew there in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is the chapter where the disciples asked Jesus Christ about the signs of his coming and of the end of the world. And when he talks about the end of the world, he's not talking about, you know, the flame out that you see in 2 Peter chapter 3. He's just talking about you get rid of the god of this world, who is the devil, then you get rid of his world system and you put in a new world under the control of Jesus Christ. All right, the end of that world. And in all of the discussion about those various signs, in verse 29 of Matthew chapter 24, the Lord says, immediately after the tribulation, is there any problem knowing where you are dispensationally after the tribulation? Of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, watch it, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And sure, they're mourning. He's getting ready to destroy them. You see all those stars coming down. It's a mystery. And those things, they go dark. Aren't they light years away? They say. I mean, if you cut the light off, the light's supposed to be traveling down here for years. Listen, I'm going to tell you, you're dealing with a God who is... He's big and he's great. He says, boom, we wipe that out and take the light with it. And forget the light years. We're talking about doing this in a day. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Last book in your Bible, Revelation chapter 6. People, I don't think we conceive how big and how majestic, how great and powerful God really is. You take away creation, then you take away understanding of how these events take place here. Revelation chapter 6, look at verse 12. I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Well, what happens here? All right, we have a reference I want you to see since we're in the book of Revelation, so we don't have to go one place and come back. While you're here, go to Revelation chapter 12, and I'll show you one of the things that's happening with the stars. Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 3. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, that's the devil, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, that's Israel, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, and his angels, those angels are the stars that were dragged by his tail that fell from heaven. In Revelation chapter 1, the Lord's there with seven stars in his hand and said, what are those? He said, those are the angels of the seven churches. You say, well, you'd have to know a lot to be able to understand all that. Not really. Don't we have a city somewhere in the United States that's named for angels? Yeah, what's it called? Los Angeles. What's in the middle of that city? A place called Hollywood, right? And the best actors in Hollywood are called movie stars. That's what I thought. I'll tell you, the Bible controls language. Those stars are the angels, and when he drags those things and they come down to the earth, those are the fallen angels that come down with him. And the Hubble telescope's not going to be able to figure that out. You got to have a Bible for that. Turn to Psalm 102. So mostly we keep going back to Isaiah. So Psalms are to the left. You go backwards from Isaiah. You go through Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Psalms, and Psalms basically is the middle of your Bible. Psalm 102. Psalm 102. And look at verse 25. Psalm 102, verse 25. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. So the Lord changes what's going on up there, just like you and I change clothes. Just makes it go away, and he changes it. Why? Devil's been up there. Devil's been up there. One more time on your way back to Isaiah 34, stop in Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, look at verse 12. This is about the devil. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Where did he fall from? Heaven. How art thou cast down or cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? If you'll remember, we don't have time to run all the crossroads as we did this recently. There are three heavens. The earth is here and it's surrounded by the first heaven, which is the sky where the birds fly. The second heaven, according to Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, is the outer space. And the third heaven, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul was caught up, is where God is. All right, devil's been hanging around in the second heaven. And Lucifer gets cast out of there, and the Lord said, man, he fouled this whole thing up. I got to clean it up. I got to change clothes. That's what you do when things get dirty. Okay? So he pours his vengeance out on the heavens because of the inhabitant. And let me tell you something. You go around and look at all these false religions and things. You know what they're worshiping? They're worshiping the sun, the moon, and the stars. Have you ever noticed what the emblem for Islam is? It's a crescent moon with a star. Santa Claus, December the 25th, Christmas. That's the worship of Baal, the sun god. Jesus, if you study it all out, and it's not easy to show, but he was born in the fall, probably in September. So how did we get December the 25th? You got that from Baal worship. And the Lord says, you know what? I'm tired of this. We're changing this. We're going to do it a different way. All right, and then in verse 5, you say, how in the world are we going to get to the end of this in 10 minutes? We're going to have to hurry, aren't we? Verse 5, my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea. If you look at a Bible atlas, we don't have time to do it now. That is, if you look at a map of Israel, and you look below the Dead Sea, the land of Idumea is the land below the Dead Sea. It is the land of Edom. It was where Esau was. And included in there is a city called Bozrah, and included in there is a city called Selah-Petra. And included in there is a mount called Mount Seir, S-E-I-R. And those are all references that you read about as we studied last week. Selah-Petra is the place where the Jews hide during the tribulation to get away from the Antichrist. All right, so the Lord has a vengeance against Idumea because he calls them in verse 5, the people of my curse. The people of my curse. Well, what were they doing? Can you find the book of Obadiah? Do you even know it's in the Bible? Okay, let's try this. We got to Ezekiel, right? Before, we've been there. So after Ezekiel, the next book is Daniel. And then Hosea is the next book. So Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Stay with me. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Then the next one is Joel. And the next one is Amos. And there's a one chapter book called Obadiah. If you get to Jonah, Micah, Nahum, you've gone too far. So Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Obadiah, Obadiah. Oh, my darling, excuse me. All right, look at verse 11. Obadiah, verse 11. Well, verse 10 for the context. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob. What is this a prophecy about? Look in verse 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord, concerning Edom. So we're dealing with the place where the land of Idumea is. Verse 10, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, that is when Israel was attacked and the forces got carried away and the foreigners entered into his gates and cast lots upon Jerusalem. Even thou wast as one of them. In other words, that you helped them. But thou shouldst not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldst thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. So Edom was rejoicing at the destruction of Jerusalem. Neither shouldst thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldst not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. So they were part of the armies that came to fight. Yea, thou shouldst not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. So they were stealing some of the spoil. Verse 14, neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. So what they did, those guys in the land of Idumea stood at the crossway, and when the men were escaping out of Jerusalem to get down to Selah-Petra, they were capturing them. Verse 14 goes on to say, neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. So what he's saying is, he says, you guys helped them out. In Ezekiel 35, you see that those in Edom were actually also participating in killing some of those that were escaping. So these people in Idumea are the people of my curse. What was the curse? He said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And he says, I'm coming to make good on my curse. What does he do there in Idumea? Well, first of all, in verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. He slaughters them the same way they were slaughtering Israel. And it's like a big sacrifice. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah. Bozrah is in the land of Idumea. And a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And then he says, and the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. You say, well, there it is right there. The Bible's got an error in it. There aren't such things as the unicorns. Yeah, there are. People say they are rhinoceroses. No, they're not. They're unicorns. That's why the Bible calls them unicorns. Unicorn is spelled U-N-I-C-O-R-N. Rhinoceros is spelled some other way. Now, you have to, because of the time, I'm not going to be able to give you the cross references. I'll have them up on the internet for you tomorrow, and you can look them up for yourself. Those are one-horned horses. Do you remember in Revelation chapter 19 that the Lord is on a horse getting ready to come back here? You know what he is? It's a unicorn. And you know what? The armies that were with him in heaven get on horses also. You know what they are? They're unicorns. And when you check the cross references in the Bible, you're going to see those unicorns are in heaven. That's why you've never seen one. But they're going to see him. You know, I've always been interested. When we do a lot of personal work, a lot of times we get invited by people into their houses. For the last 30 years, there's been a great infatuation with unicorns. And now there's this great concern about terror. You know what? All they're doing is just getting lined up for what's getting ready to happen. Verse 8, it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. What's the controversy of Zion? Zion concerns Jerusalem. You know what the controversy is? Who owns it? That's the controversy. And right now the Palestinians say, we own it. And the Jews say, no, we own it. And they keep swapping land for peace. And they end up with more wars. They're going to keep doing that till Jesus comes. And then you know who's going to end up in that land? The Jews. Why? Because he gave them the land of Canaan. I've got the cross references for you. Verse 9, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch. What's pitch? That's what they do in baseball. No, pitch is tar. It's what's used in pouring this driveway out here. And dust thereof should be turned into brimstone. What's that? Sulfur. Pitch and brimstone. And the land thereof should become burning pitch. The land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up how long? Forever, from generation to generation, it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. What is that? It's hell on earth. Haven't you ever heard anybody say that expression before? Man, that's hell on earth. No, it's not. This is. What he does, turn with me to Isaiah 66. What the Lord does is he takes that land of Idumea and lights the thing on fire. It's hell on earth, and anybody who won't follow his rule, who's worshiped the Antichrist during the tribulation, and others who rebel against him during his millennial reign, he just throws them in there. Isaiah 66, verse 23. We have to get right down to the point. Jesus Christ is already in Jerusalem. He's sitting on the throne of David ruling. And in verse 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So they're traveling up to Jerusalem to worship him. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. That thing's burning south of town, and they go by that thing, and they can see those guys in there burning. What would that do to you? What would that do to you? Cause you to toe the line, wouldn't you? You know, people say, I just got to say this. I remember we used to have a jail ministry, and the prisoners in there were, most of them in there for drugs and things like that. And I said, if the sheriff came in here right now and said, you know, I'm getting ready to let you guys go in 3 days, but I just want to show you what happens to you if you catch you again, and they grab one of the guys at random, stick him up against the wall, and blow his brains out. Come in there the next day and say, okay, now wait a second, I've got one more. We've got to grab a guy at random, stick him up against the wall, boil his brains out. This is what we do to people who we catch dealing drugs. And then they get one more and do that the next day and say, okay, you guys are free to go. You think they'd go out and deal drugs the next day? Huh? Probably not. They'd probably think about it a little while. Well, if you kept passing by this fire down there and he said, just do what I say, you'd find it real easy to just do what he said. Right? Okay, we got to wrap this up. Verse 11 to 15. All those were unclean birds. Cormorant, bitter and all that. All those wild beasts, all those dragons and satyrs, all those thorns and nettles, that place is not occupied. What is not on fire is inhabited by unclean beasts. And you know what the Lord says in verse 16? Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Because he says, what I'm telling you, I'm telling you the truth. And that's the way it's going to be. Verse 17, I cast the lot for them. I've divided that land to them by line. And they shall possess it forever. From generation to generation shall they dwell therein. It doesn't make any difference who wants to lay claim to it. God already has it reserved for hell on earth and everything around it for those unclean animals. That's the way it's going to be. You think it's going to work out like that? I do. I know it will. I know it will. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to study your words. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us be faithful, faithful students of your words and obedient to them. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.